Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Death is awkward. When I find someone who's recently lost a loved one, I often don't know what to say. Past couple years, priesthood's been a difficult learning period of what to do, suddenly being someone who has to learn how to console someone in that place of grief. It's awkward, because you want to bless them, kind of scared you'll say something that's wrong, maybe some trite statement that really isn't consoling. But I think the true reason it's awkward isn't just socially, because death is something that's utterly wrong and ugly. And at the same time, somehow it's blessed and actually beautiful. It's wrong and ugly, as we know from our own experience. When we lose someone we love dearly, this should not be. And from the scriptures itself, it says, "God did not make death, and he does not delight in the death of the living, for he created all things that they might exist." That death was not part of God's plan. We brought it into the world. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, before the fall, before the first sin, there was no death. There was no suffering. But the consequence of sin was death, evil, and suffering. And because of that, first sin that we now experience, we still have this. Something broken in our humanity that's ugly and wrong and shouldn't be there. And yet, it's somehow beautiful and good. And it's the doorway to paradise. That makes it awkward and just confusing at times. One of the greatest saints, Saint Therese of Lisieux, many of us know and love her as we should, this little saint who said, "My way is the little way of love, doing little things with great love, trusting in God and his goodness." But also one of her greatest testaments is her final days. The last year and a half of her life, she lived in a spiritual darkness. She chose to believe that God was there and trusted him, even though she felt nothing. And in the great suffering of her sickness, tuberculosis, as she was dying, a painful, agonizing death, she chose to trust God. And in her last moments, she said, "I love him. My God, I love you." And then as she said this, her face regained her complexion to full health, her eyes fixed above with brilliant peace and joy. And the Lord let her fall into a certain ecstasy as she died. Her sisters around her said, it lasted the space of how long it says to pray the creed. And during that time, she was ravishingly beautiful, held the crucifix so tightly, she had to pry it from her grasp after she died. Her sister, Sister Genevieve, said, I look back and remember that moment when Saint Therese entered in ecstasy the last moments before she died. And Celine says, I dare to believe we got to be there at her judgment. As God looked at her, Celine says, I dare to question if Therese asked her, God, what do you think of me? Are you pleased with my life? And Therese to actually get an answer from God saying, I am so pleased. Therese, God, the amazement, the gratitude of being bewildered by the glory of God, just how good and how much the Lord loves her and welcomes her into paradise. That little snapshot of one of the greatest saints' lives and the moment of the death of one of our greatest saints. As she entered paradise amidst the suffering, amidst the pain, the Lord allowed us to see a glimpse of that blessed moment of death when she transitions from this life into paradise. Death is ugly and it's wrong, but somehow blessed, because that's the moment the Lord welcomes us home, and the Lord actually gets to tell us what he thinks of us for all of paradise, and how pleased he was in some moments. Yes, death and suffering are wrong. And because of that, Jesus took suffering and death and made it his weapon. Jesus took the cross, suffering and death, and by death, he trampled over death. By our suffering, he redeemed our suffering and made it somehow good, somehow beautiful, that death is swallowed up in victory and has lost his sting. Because Jesus Christ has touched everything, even the ugliest parts of our lives, suffering and death, they are redeemed. And this was not just some moment 2,000 years ago, but a moment we can enter into again and again and again. And we do. The mystery of entering into Christ's death and resurrection are what we call the sacraments. In baptism, do you not know that we entered into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might live. Our shepherd leads us beside restful waters, and by baptism, we die with him and rise with him. Our shepherd then spreads the table before us in the sight of our foes. In the Eucharist, in the Holy Mass, we are brought to Christ's death. We are there on Calvary as Jesus dies for us, and we are there in heaven as Jesus plans to bring us to his resurrection. In confession, he guides me along right paths for his name's sake, and by the blood and water of his side, he heals us. In the anointing of the sick, he anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. When the priest comes to give last rites, anointing of the sick, our suffering is united to Christ's. I shared a few weeks ago, I got to, for the first time, be with someone as they passed away and met Jesus. I gave them anointing of the sick, prayed for them as they died, and prayed the prayers of the church after they died. Something that should have been ugly and awful was somehow beautiful because Jesus touched it. This time is vulnerable, but God is present. In our time when we go to meet the Lord, he gives us time to pray and reflect. He lets us become like a little child and strips away any pride we may have of our lives, of what I did, all my things are taken away so we can have just the Lord. We suffer with Christ so that we can die with Christ. That every moment of suffering, the Lord is there with us, and we can suffer with him, and by that pain, by that death, we can enter into eternal paradise. Lastly, on this All Souls Day, it's not just about our death we pray for. We pray for all those we have lost and grieve. Yes, we grieve, but we grieve with hope, and in that, we pray for them. We are not the judge of our brothers and sisters. We do not know their ultimate destination. We certainly have hope, and we certainly cling to the cross of Christ, that Jesus has done everything to bring them to paradise. But our task is to pray for them, that wherever they are, if in God's mercy they're in purgatory, they might be sped along to eternal paradise. This month of November is the time to pray for the poor souls in purgatory. these 8 days, we have a special blessing. If we go to a cemetery, pray for a little bit, and our Father, Hail Mary, glory be, the Pope and his intentions. Go to confession sometime within this 20 days before or after, and receive Holy Communion. We receive a plenary indulgence we can give to any poor soul. We're blessed to have the oratory in the graveyard there. We have a one-stop shop. Go there and pray for the poor souls. They might be sped along to eternal paradise. That when we die with Christ, we might rise with him. For our beloved ones, if we die to ourselves, they might rise with Christ. And what is ugly somehow becomes beautiful. If we are with Christ, we shall be with him forever.